Peter Case is here. He's in the studios with us. Hello, Peter.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Welcome back. I'm doing good. Peter, it's been a while since you've been here. It's been over a year, I know for a fact.
Well, I know that too. Yeah, I didn't go on much of a tour last year, so it must have been a couple years back.
Mm-hmm. What you been doing?
Just partying, man. You know what I usually do. No, I'm just kidding.
Tearing it up.
I took a year off from the road for some health considerations that involved getting a double bypass open heart surgery one day, sort of by surprise.
And, if it was a surprise, or you just felt it
coming?
It
was a surprise.
On.
Oh, yeah. Huh. I mean, I was tired from the tour, and I went home, went to the doctor, and the next thing I knew, whoa. And it took a while to come back from that, but so this is my first tour, really, since I've been back.
How you feeling?
Good.
I've been told that you like to call yourself the optimistic pessimist.
Yeah, that's kind of true. I'm not like one of those, you know, Pollyanna types, but on the other hand, I'm pretty pessimistic, but I mix it up, you know, I like to have a bad attitude, but keep it going.
So
know?
what is open heart surgery done for your attitude?
Oh man, it blows your mind. Well, one thing is you get a lot of gratitude that you just made it through, you know, I was really indebted to the doctor. That's, you know, you get like kind of bonded with a doctor who saved your life. You, that guy becomes your hero, and then you spend a lot of time. Everything just slowed down like a lot. Like I was just on the road going like crazy, go go go. I've been doing it for a long time, and all of a sudden I spent a year in a chair. Spent quite a bit of time, like really, checking things out. It picked up after a few months. I got a lot better.
I understand that you had some pretty cool surgeons as well. They, let's see here. I've got this written down.
Oh, yeah, they were cool. They were like, listen, when they had me in there before they knocked me out, they were listening to
Love Supreme.
It was one of those big John Coltrane records, my favorite things. And then the Ramones came on at one point. I go, what's going on here, man? And one of the nurses says, the doctor's all about his iPod. I'm like lying there listening to the Ramones right before they knocked me out. You know, I was like, I hope you guys know what you're doing, man.
So
but they were good.
What does this whole experience done for your feelings about health insurance, Peter?
Well, health insurance, I always had warm, feelings about health insurance. But I didn't.
What was that plan you were on? The don't get sick plan?
I was on the groovy work union jobs and get union insurance plan that went really well for a while until all of a sudden the major label work fell out and I started being on independent labels. And so when I became an independent contractor, I started and went through a couple problems in my financial setup. I started having a real hard time and I was not making insurance. So I was hoping not to get sick. Yeah. Hope is not a plan, they say.
I know what your insurance was. Good friends.
Well, you know,
talk
they bailed
about
me
coming
out.
Through
they,
for you, man.
At
yeah.
the end of the thing, they bailed me out, you know. Now I've got insurance. I have some insurance, but of course it doesn't cover the heart thing.
Tell us what happened. I mean, how did you actually end up covering these bills?
Well,
is that too personal?
A fan set up a website called Hidden Love, and we got some help from people. And then there was a big benefit. And you know, I mean, I play a lot of benefits. Musicians play benefits for each other. That's what we do. It's a community of people. And so my number came up, and people came out for me. And it was T-Bone Burnett and Eric Idle and Dave Alvin and
Loudon Wainwright III.
Loudon Wainwright III, Van Dyke Parks, and Richard Thompson.
Unbelievable.
And Joe Henry and Stan Ridgway and some other people, too. So, yeah, it was a trip. Jeff Muldaur was there. And I even got up and sang A Million Miles Away with a string quartet. It was
no.
And my doctor was sitting right up front, and I was holding my chest while I did it. He thought I was having another meltdown. So he didn't like the way it looked. So it was the first time I sang since the thing. I felt like I was going to pop.
Yeah,
but they had a string quartet arrangement of A Million Miles Away. It was the section, you know. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
How do you know whether or not while you were actually under, they may have played Celine Dion or something like that? I mean,
anything could have happened. They could have done anything to me, man. I was so completely out.
So, in addition to laying around watching movies, playing, you know, banging on the piano, you decided to remaster some old records.
I didn't decide
to
remaster it. You know, these guys, over at this company called Alive Records, right in the midst of all this, we're going to put out the Nerves, which is my group from 1976.
Mm-hmm.
We did Hanging on the Telephone, and they put out my they decided to put that out, so I was asked then to remaster it, you know, and that was something I could do in the state I was in. So I put the project together and remastered, and then there was another Lives Nerve Sings. I didn't work on that. Let's see. I remastered several records. I'll tell you, the year I was out, I had four records. The year I wasn't working, I had four records come out. It's more records I've ever had come out in a year in my whole career.
For a layperson, what does that mean, remastering? I mean, we hear that word all the time now. Everything's been remastered. What does that mean?
Well, it's just a transfer from whatever format the tapes are in into onto CD and vinyl. And so you go to a place and you make it sound right.
I mean, are you enhancing it? Are you?
I mean, actually, it was just mastering it.
Washing the tapes, or what are you doing?
Well, once your in terms of a project like the Nerves, like that was never on an album. It's not actually remastering it in a sense. A lot of it's just being mastered for the first time. But you take all the different sources. Some of it's on singles. Some of it's on tapes. Some of it's on digital. It's on all these different things. And you bring it. You get it sequenced, and you. In other words, the songs in the order they're supposed to be, and then you cut off the things like every after the song where, like, you know, some guy starts yelling at another guy, or makes a huge mistake and they stop the tape or something. And so you cut off all that stuff or whatever it is, and you get it sounding really good. You add the bass that you have to add, or you have to add the high end. You shape the sound, really, is what you do, and you make it sound right. I love doing it, and I really get into it, and I work with people that are really good at it. And so we did those records. I mean, to me, it's like another mix, really.
You've called yourself a rock and roll folk singer. I think you actually coined that phrase. You remember that, Peter?
Yeah, I said stuff like that.
But now, when we've been listening to that sound, I mean, you've been kind of going the acoustic route for quite some time. But with this new record called Wig, things have been turned up a little bit.
Yeah, they have. You know,
has the experience with remastering all of those old records had the effect that?
You know, they were old records from when I was like 21, and I was playing. You know, we were playing pretty intense electric music. You know, I've always had both sides to my music. When I was a kid, I'm from up in a little town up in New York State, in the western side of the state, over kind of on the edge of, you know, the country. And I would play in fire halls with my rock and roll bands. And then the next night I might be playing in a church basement doing my acoustic, you know, act, you know. That's when I was 14, back in 68, you know.
Hmm.
So I've always had the two sides to what I did. And except the only time I didn't was when I was in the Nerves, and I only just played rock and roll. And so for a little while there, I just did that. And even by the time the Plimsolls came around, I was back to the acoustic thing at times. And so, yeah, it was influential because I loved the sound of it, you know.
Tell us what brought around Wig. What was the experience?
Well, here's the thing. I had a comeback show, you know, sort of like the return to performing at McCabe's. We had a sold-out show there. And it was the band on Wig is DJ Bonebreak from X,
mm-hmm.
from the band X, and then a partner, a friend of mine from Memphis named Ron Franklin, who I'd worked with before. And so they came out. The three of us had made a record before for another group, for Dead Rock West, that's just about to come out. It hasn't even come out yet, but we'd made a gospel record for them. And so, we did the show at McCabe's, and it was so much fun that we just started writing more songs for it over the weekend and booked some studio time. And on Tuesday, it all kind of came up spontaneously. We cut a record from 11 a.m. in the morning till midnight that night, and that's the majority of what's on Wig.
All of them live tracks. I love that.
Yeah, there's nothing digital on the record. We didn't use anything digital, so it was all...
2-inch tape.
What?
2-inch tape.
We used 2-inch tape. You get a big, fat sound. And we didn't do any doctoring with the digital stuff. It's all analog. And so we cut the thing guitars and drums. And then I went back in the next day realizing we were going to put it out. And I played bass on the record for the first time in 25 years.
Fantastic.
I had like a Hofner bass that I bought because I kind of returned to listening to the Beatles and Tom Petty and all this stuff when I was like sitting around too. So I wanted to play bass on it with like an old bass, and I did that. And so that's the record pretty much.
We got to hear something. I mean, there's 12 wonderful songs on here, and we got the piano set up for you.
All right.
You want to walk over to the
All right, you want to hear it,
Ivers?
Too? Yeah,
right,
here
yeah.
we go.
Yeah, yeah. And Peter, can you hear me over there?
Yes, I
okay,
can.
Okay, what are you going to play for us, my good man?
I'm going to play a song that's the first song on the album, Wig, and it's sort of a different sort of... Uh-oh, I just moved the microphone, and it's starting.
Work that out for him over there,
It
Joe,
needs
wait.
To calm down here. And it needs to point up towards me, actually. There we go. And... And needs to continue to point up.
You know, this is exactly what
I'm play the song.
What we talk about when we say listener supported. So
this is the song that's on the first cut of the album. It's with the band, but I'm going to play a solo version of it, kind of how it sounded when it was written, and it goes like this. It's called Banks of the River. Frankie and Tony were brothers. They ran away from home, made it down to Memphis, where they sat and watched the river flow. On the bank of the river, bank of the river tide. On the bank of the river, bank of the river tide. Bank of the river, sat and played his old guitar. Frank reached into his jacket pocket, put up a beat of harp and began to blow. He blowed on that harp on the bank of the river, bank of the river, child. On the bank of the river, bank of the river, child. Tony told the kid about it, that little kid with me. And when I finally run away from home, people chasing after me, I made it down to the bank salt, yeah, all right. They made it out to the country, but the cops didn't want them around. Officer Bartlett and Officer Fliss said, Tony, better leave town, you better leave town. They made out. Well, Tony caused a lot of trouble, hurt a couple people too. Late at night he'd sit up and cry, cause he didn't know what to do. Whoa, on the bank of the river, banks of the river, child. On the banks of the river, on the banks of the river. Uh-huh, yeah. Whoa, I ain't seen them forever. Don't know if they're still alive. But when I hear someone blowing a howl down by the riverside, on the banks of the river, on the banks of the river, on the banks of the river, by the tall grass, by the river glass, soft breeze stirs and a truck rolls past on the bank. On the banks of the river, banks of the river, child. On the bank of the river, banks of the river, child.